The following is message number 3 of the 2018 Midwest Campus Team Reunion.
All right. Well, I hope this has been a governing vision. We call it the 7 words. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, please. Tell me the 7 words. Starting at the top. Homes.
Fruit bearing.
Shepherding.
Functioning.
Students,
full-timers,
all saints. Yeah, good. Well, I guess it's 8 words, all saints, but we call it 7 words. We can't count in Texas. So this is a view, not the view. So if you're unhappy with it, that's fine. Be unhappy with it. If you'd like to substitute other words in it or draw other lines in it, go ahead and have your own version. So this is just a suggestion. It's been helpful to us to kind of get things in perspective. But like Chris said, you can substitute words and even ideas, but this has been kind of a guiding vision for us. And it's a way we're endeavoring. We haven't arrived. You hope you got the impression from Chris that we are still in the process. So it's just our endeavor. And as we endeavor, we may learn more and may adjust this. But for now, this has been very helpful. And maybe also we call it 3-fold cord, students, full-timers, all saints, or community saints. We use the term community. And basically, this is just a person passing through their stages of life. When you're young, unless you're a child prodigy, you don't know how to do anything, so you can't make a living. So you need to go to school to learn something. So you're a student. We all start out as students. So that's our earlier days in life. We just call students. It's a normal phase of life. And then when you get through being a student, some go to the training, some don't, most don't. And then either way, you enter your work life, and that looks like serving full-time or getting a secular job. So that's another stage of life. So it's just trying to capture significant sections of your life. You're student or working, and if you're working, you're working either for the Lord full-time or you're working for the Lord full-time, but also picking up other kind of work. So it's kind of logical. You may hear, well, we hear 5 chords or 5 groups of people. And that's very legitimate. The brothers in Taiwan use the term 5. And we have the same concept. We just collapse 2 of those into community saints. The 5 are, in addition to students, full-timers, and community saints, they have elders and faculty on the campus. So those are... To us, they're community saints. They're serving the church. A lot of elders have regular jobs, secular jobs, and so does Carolyn. She has a regular job, so we call her community saints. So we're all good with that. We just kind of simplify it and call it, you know, working people, secular jobs, and so community saints. Are you good?
Yeah.
No problems, right? Everybody's happy. Okay. Like to make sure we're all together on this. So I think this is a great start. I really appreciate the fellowship.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
You're encouraged for the Midwest?
Amen.
I just think we have a great future ahead of us in the Midwest because of the Lord's move among you and the other saints that can't be with us today. So we call it a team reunion because it's coming out of, like we said last night, some earlier history we had together, fellowshipping about the Lord's move on the campus, as Chris well explained why we like to look at that particular slice of humanity. But the team actually includes all the saints to bear fruit. And again, as we progress through the weekend, we'll be focusing on some particulars. We'll get into some specifics, and just pick up the principles. Your burden may be high schoolers, junior high, elementary, infants. And that's great. We need people that have burdens in all those areas because the church is a family with all stages and ages and conditions. So everybody needs shepherding. Everybody needs care. If we're all just focusing on college students, then there's going to be some neglect. So in Austin, we have a significant campus labor, and it's been a great contribution to the church. In fact, if you look across the congregation there, you're going to see a lot of people like me that was gained off the campus and other brothers who are serving now the Lord who are gained off the campus. And because we've been at it for since 1973, so going on 45 years, the 700 saints or so in Austin, there's been some migrations out to start other churches. You can see people that were my age gained off the campus. I'm retired now, officially. Or, yeah, ha-ha. And there's ones older than me that were gained off the campus back in the 70s. So because we've been at it, you just see layer upon layer. And now, you know, they have church kids. You know, Chris is a little bit behind me. His kids are in college. My kids have already been through college. Still working on one. Hope he can make it. Everybody's got to find their way. But you can just see layers. So if you have this kind of long-run view and you stay at it, the problem is people start and they stop, and they say it doesn't work. Well, it does work. It's just maybe your approach or your concept or something, because people are open. It's the Lord's word. It's the Lord Jesus. It is the Lord.
Amen.
And it's his economy. It's his move. He knows what he's doing. We just need to be more one with him so we can figure out how to co-labor with him.
Amen.
So anyway, if you'll stick with it and stay focused, some stay focused, then you'll see over the years the church life will become fuller with the people who they are productive in society. They have homes. You know, you have to be able to have a home and have a family and carry on a good human life. And that's they call it the backbone of the church life, or the real assets, all the riches of Christ. How long have you been in the church, Ken Mooney or Marty, Robert? A long time. Long time. How many riches are poured into these brothers and a lot of the other saints? And we just need to get that transferred to the next generation. So we'll talk more about that. But the rich assets of Christ are in the saints. That's where we find the riches of Christ. So if we can get young people around people like that, Christ is going to come out. They're going to see Christ living in the home. And so this is not the campus. Right? And it's not even home meetings. It can include that. Right? But we didn't put up here home meeting. What couple hours a week. We put up the homes, right? So there's a lot that goes on in the homes. Not the campus, not a meeting. Conclude that, but it's broader than that. Yeah. Okay. Good. Let's move on then to page 4. And we're going to talk about full-timers. We didn't intend to have this. We only intended a couple messages, and then we're fellowshipping last week, I guess, and Chris is in our coordination there, the brothers. And so Chris is full-time by keeping a job. So he brought up the point, shouldn't we have something for the full-timers since it's a reunion? And so because of Chris' fellowship, you got this message. The non-job-dropping full-timer among us wanted to be able to take care of the full-timer. So here we are. So we'll cover some principles that really apply across the board. like he said earlier, 19 supporting one, we need the 19 to be full-time too. So I'd like to see which ones among us are serving full-time by dropping their job. That was a 20 supporting one. One can drop their secular job and be supported by the other 19. So their time is full, and I really appreciate the comment. The big asset of a full-timer is time. So we're all doing the same thing.
Amen.
Let's see here. I just met Jordan. Hey, stand up, Jordan. Jordan's a busy student. Here's Manuel. He's a community saint, right? You have a job, don't you?
Right.
Okay. And then here's Jefferson. You dropped your job, Jefferson? Come on up, Jefferson. So all these brothers are full-timers. They're all full-timers. All right? So they're all doing the same thing. They're all branches, and so they bear fruit. They all have the same, they're all branches. Are any of you not a branch? Okay. And they're all shepherds.
Amen.
And what do shepherds do? They shepherd. They're shepherds. They're all the same. The difference is this one is a student. He's also an ROTC. You can feel the muscles up here. I'm glad he's working for our nation. Hang in there, Jordan. We're going to need you. This one's got a wife, a kid, a car, a house, whatever, you know, just on two cars, two dogs, whatever, just, and so he's wrapped up. This one also has a family, so he has those things, but he's also not bearing a secular job, so he has time. So it's just related to time, okay? So all the same in the Lord's eyes, all full time, but this one has more time. So maybe I'll call you a more timer. So, would all the more-timers stand up? All the ones that are more-timers, that means you don't have a secular job. Okay, great. Okay, so these are our more-timers. You can retitle this message to more-timers. Amen. Okay, number one is, let's all read Roman number one. Okay, this applies to everybody. Paul's writing to the Romans, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called. So we're all here because we didn't choose to be here. We got called. All of us have a calling, and that may have come at 12 years old watching Billy Graham. Not sure how. You got here, but you all have a specific calling according to, underline, his purpose. We're not here fulfilling our purpose. It's a greater purpose. Your purpose is great, but there's a greater one. There's somebody a little bit more important than you. It's called the triune God, and he needs you. So that's why you're breathing good air, and why you're sitting in this meeting, and why your life, it may not look like a lot of lives around you, people that are pursuing other things with other visions. Is that Rebecca? Hey, Rebecca. She's, her sister is in Austin, so we're connected. What are you doing these days? You're in school, okay. I know Leon's in school. We like Leon from UT, and I know some of the others. But okay, so what we're talking about...
His purpose.
So we're called for his purpose to fulfill a greater purpose than what we think life is about. So, yeah, okay. So people around you, they, at least as of now, may not have that calling yet. Hopefully they will get it. That's why they're in our, that's why they're around us. But they walk to a different, they're walking a different direction with a different result. And they may not understand why someone like Carolyn's life is, you got another life. You're doing things differently. Why aren't you doing things the way everybody else is doing things? Well, because we answered a call, and we serve him. Okay, so then this calling in 1 Corinthians, he's faithful, through whom you were called again, and we were called into what's called the fellowship of his son. So we're in a fellowship of a person. We've been called into communication, participation in a person, a unique person, the divine, human mingling of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we are this calling is into this realm of participating in this person and this person's purpose. So particularly with the Mortimers, we have to realize that we've also been called to drop a secular job, live by faith, and give our time to be available to serve the Lord, our Master. So our time is for him. In serving him, we serve him because he's called us to do that. And there's a burden there. He's put something in our heart related to his purpose, and he needs our time to complete that. He needs our availability, our capacity. I was very happy when I worked a secular job for 15 years, and I'll gladly go back to that if that's the Lord's desire. I felt like I learned a lot. It helped me humanly a lot. But there was a time when I went part-time, so I dropped part of that secular job, and then as things began to become more demanding, there was a need to drop the other part of that. And so for now, that's what I'm doing. And so we are doing that in a way of carrying out the Lord's move and the Lord's interest. So we thank the Lord for the full-timers. We should appreciate the full-timers, support them. They do need shepherding. One of them that's just starting told me he's glad he heard the fellowship about they get better because he doesn't feel like he's doing too well. Hang in there. Okay, let's move on to number two, met by Jesus every morning. So this section of the word is regarding some of the Mortimers, the full-timers, and I think we're all familiar with it after these things. So how about someone else read it? Save my voice here a little bit. Leon, you want to read this section for us?
Okay. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were there together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also are coming with you." They went forth and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now as soon as the morning broke, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Little children, you do not have any fish to eat, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." They cast, therefore, and they were no longer able to haul it in because of the abundance of fish. Then that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Therefore, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment around himself, for he was naked, and he threw himself into the sea. Amen.
Great, thanks. Okay, so here are the disciples, and they're going fishing, and the Lord was there after they labored all night, and he says, as soon as the morning broke, Jesus stood on the shore. So as a full-timer, we have to realize we're involved in the work and catching fish, and we're laboring, we're burdened. The other saints are supporting us so we can carry out the Lord's work and fish. And in this case right here, they were a little distracted, and they didn't realize Jesus was there. So we have to realize our source and come back. Every morning, full-timers, as you get up, there's someone standing beside your bed. Amen. There's someone waiting for you. Doesn't matter how much you labored before, even if you were laboring apart from the Lord. We tend to do that. And sometimes we might, like some other Christians, we may be laboring and the Lord's not even there. I mean, we're there working, and not much. Main point here is that every morning we need to be met by Jesus. Amen. And he's there waiting before we get into our day, before we cast the net out. We have to have a good, solid time with Jesus. Amen. Otherwise, it's maybe easy to go fishing and spend a lot of energy and time and have nothing. So he should be the source. The fish are great. We love to eat the fish, but we can't get distracted with the fish and leave the source. The source of the fish is Jesus. He'll fill the net. But if we get a little too wrapped up in the fish and leave our source, then we may be working all night and a little disappointed. I mean, that's a bummer. You're a professional fisherman. You're a professional fisherman. You're not me. I don't know how to bait a hook. But these guys were pros, and they fished all night, which is the prime time to catch fish, apparently, or they wouldn't have been out there. Nothing. Zero. Not one fish. Not even a little tuna fish. I'm a minnow. Okay. So we need to be at the source. And then when we come to the source, we get some speaking and five little children. Do you have any fish to eat? The Lord wants to feed us. Every morning,
amen,
when we get up, he's beside our bed or in bed with us. Maybe he's in bed with you, calling on him before you even get out of bed. But for sure, he's standing next to you. And he wants to feed you. So he says, do you have something to eat? And he has the coals ready. He's ready for you. He's prepared. Amen. He's waiting for you. I mean, he's been up, you know, he's got the fish, the bread, the coals. He got the fire going. He's already skinned the fish, put them on there. I mean, he's ready. So you just step into some delicious meal. That's our Jesus. Okay, and then as you go about the day, then he can direct to catch, you know, set the net on over here. So you'll be walking with the Lord and in touch with the Lord, so it's more likely that your day will be filled with his blessing and not you out there on your own. Okay, and then 7 says, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, of course he loved all of them, but I think John just says that because he didn't want to use his own name. I don't know. But he said to Peter, it's the Lord. I love that statement. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Peter, it's the Lord. So Peter didn't recognize it was the Lord. So Peter, he had his undergarment on, but he didn't want to go meet the Lord with his t-shirt, I guess. So he dressed properly. That means we need to present ourselves properly to the Lord. And then he threw himself into the sea. Why do you think he did that? I mean, they were in the boat, and he jumps out of the boat. It says, Lord, I think it was about 200 stadia, not too far. So instead of staying with the rest of them, he throws himself into the sea. He puts on his outer garment and then jumps in the water. Why do you think that? Have you thought about it? Well, think about it now. What do you think was going on with Peter? Repenting? What do you think he did when he jumped in the water? That's what I think. Swam to the Lord. It's like, I've got to get back to you, Lord. He was the one that led him out on the fishing expedition. Like, he probably felt a little like, oh man, we kind of blew it here. And I was the ringleader. So, Lord, I need to get back to you. I can't wait for this boat to haul all the fish. So he just was desperate. I got to get to you, Lord. I think that might be right. I don't know. Just a guess. But it shows coming back to our source. And he even, he left the fish. I mean, that's quite a haul. But he wasn't so concerned about that. He just needed to get to the Lord quickly as possible. So we should start our morning. In Austin, we delayed the full-timers. We used to get them in coordination by 7:45. And then that was for years, probably when you were there as an apprentice. You were there at 7:45. Then we moved it back to 8:30, and the thought was give the saints some more time to get with the Lord in the morning. And also maybe they'd be on time more often. Well, I'm not sure either is going on. but anyway, hopefully they get a little more time to be with the Lord. So it's really critical, but it's also a shortage with a lot of us. Okay, then Roman number 3, supplied daily by the word and the ministry of the word. So I probably would say more so with the more timer, is that because you're laboring in a spiritual atmosphere and you're needing to convey use spiritual words and be in the spiritual realm and deal with, when you're getting with people, of course, we eat lunch with them, so, we're in the physical realm. We're talking about their day. We're in the psychological realm, but our purpose in getting with people as more timers is we're trying to impart Christ into them. We're trying to feed them or cherish them so we can get some food in them. And if you don't have food and you're wrestling, we pray about our people. We look to the Lord, what the need is, where this person is, what to feed them. So it's a spiritual exercise. Jordan, I made reference to your traps up here, and this guy's hard as a rock. Okay, he obviously works out. Okay, I could never get that. Mine goes like, mine's a right angle. His is a 45. See, just because of my build, I could never get a 45 there. In fact, one of the brothers in Austin told me, just forget it, Tim. Besides, it's too much maintenance. So, but he works his body out. Okay, it's just evident. Okay, so with serving, if you don't work your spirit out, if you're not spiritually exercised, then when you comes time to feed and have something, some speaking of the Lord, it may not be there. So if we're not supplied spiritually with the Word, then it's going to be hard to minister Christ. So we have this verse in Timothy, that from a babe you've known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So we're bringing people, we're saving people, and we're bringing them into a daily salvation. So if we're not wise how to do that, then we will not make it. So the scriptures are the way that we are supplied. And then how about you read Colossians 3:16?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Okay, so this is letting it dwell in you richly. We're familiar with this verse. So it's inhabiting us. It's dwelling. The Word is dwelling us. So as we're getting in the Word, we're letting it live in us, dwell in us, lead us. So when we come to the Word, we're not just coming to gain the facts in the Bible. We do need the factual information so we can be accurate in our speaking about the Lord. And praise the Lord for the ministry that's taken all these pieces from all over the Bible and put them together to show us God's New Testament economy. You and I could never figure that out, but Brother Nee and Brother Lee, standing on the shoulders of many, many, many faithful believers through centuries and centuries, who have identified different pieces and, you know, explained different pieces and helped us. But these brothers, just because they are so, I'd say, faithful to the Lord, to get into the Word, get into all the rich writings throughout the generations and seek the Lord for His purpose, His move, has been able to put the pieces together. So we see a panoramic view of God's eternal purpose, and it all makes sense. Ken, there's not one verse in the Bible that troubles me.
Amen.
It all fits in God's economy.
Amen.
It's just remarkable that you can take this book that's got so much in it, and you could be on this line, that line. You can make a whole ministry out of this line. But miraculously and thankfully, we have some gifted brothers that could fit all these pieces together. Amen. And it's so clear in my mind. It's just a phenomenal. You can take the Bible. Are you confused about anything? Are you unsure what the target is, Marty?
No.
There's no doubt in your mind. Isn't that so comforting?
Amen.
I mean, I just meet people all the time, and they're just over here on this, and how does this fit with that? And just got a question on a website. It says, was man made mortal? Did God create man mortal or immortal? Never mind. Don't think about it. But in God's economy, it's just so clear. We just wrote out this little explanation. Thank you. It's so helpful. There's probably a whole line of people dedicated their whole years to figure that question out. God's economy. Oh, thank the Lord for the ministry. Hallelujah. I'm not confused about what the Lord's purpose is. Are you? Well, just hang around a little bit more. Read the Bible and read the ministry, and it'll all get clear. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This one's studying law, right, Matthew? So I worked I'm not an attorney, but I worked in a legal environment. And you just get in there, and it can get confusing. Like, okay, here's a principle of the law. Here's another principle of the law. What trumps what? What, you know, the lawyers are always trying to find a way in. It's just like endless. But with God's economy, it's just so clear.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so thankful I don't live in that realm. I'm glad you're an attorney. And I appreciate, you know, I work with some occasionally. I'm very thankful. Okay. So when we come to the Word, Matthew, it's not like those law books. Okay? It's a book of life. So Matthew, when you read your law book, use your mind, use your spirit, of course, always, whatever you're doing. But, and you got to really exercise. I lived with a law student for a couple of years, so I know the pressure. Wow, it's intense. And, but when you come to this book, it's not like any other book, and you undergraduate students, any other book you'll find in your library. This is not, this book is different. It's not like any other book you'll pick up, because this book, its author is God. It's God-breathed. All scripture is God's breath. It's his essence breathed out. When he was speaking, just like I'm speaking now, when you're speaking, you're exhaling. Here, put your hand in front of your mouth like this. Say the word Sam. Now say the word Paul.
Paul.
Did you feel the difference? Put it right up here. Say, Paul.
Paul.
Did you feel your breath? You say, you're aspirating. You're speaking out. So when God says, let there be light, it's God's essence coming out. So it's unlike your other books. So his speaking is his breathing. So all scriptures God breathed. His speaking is his spirit.
Amen.
John tells us his words are spirit and life. So when you come to this word to be supplied, we've got to exercise our mind? Not mainly. Yeah, you have to use it to figure out, you know, what those letters say, but you're using your spirit to contact, because we're to be supplied, we need to draw the spirit out of this word. So when we come to get supplied, we should be exercising our spirit. Pray the word, read the word spiritfully, in spirit. Because the essence of this is what? Spirit. It's just like this. Here's a match. Okay, so this match has wood. And it also has one other element in it. What's the other element? Phosphorus. So you could say the essence of this match is what? Phosphorus. If it were just wood, it would not be a match. What makes it a match is essence. This wood is just to hold. It's just to provide a platform for this match, this phosphorus to be lit and then to burn the wood, right? So you could say in the word, the black and white is like the wood. And what is the essence of this
word?
Spirit. Okay, you're a good class. So wood is to the black and white as the spirit, as the phosphorus is to what?
Spirit.
So the essence of the match, what? Phosphorus. The essence of the word?
Spirit.
Okay. So here you are, and you take the word, and you strike it, and you strike it on your mind. Here's your mind. You come to the word, and you're just using your mind, your law book, Matthew. No fire, no lit, no lighting, right? So you can strike it all day on your mind, and you're not going to get any spirit. Okay, now here are your emotions over here. So you can also strike it. You know, you're just emotionally. I talked to a sister yesterday, and between our flight and, she's going through some things, and I just, my heart was, you know, just felt, she just was just crying, weeping. What should I do? I don't know if I can go on. Just emotional. I just told her, sister so-and-so, just let's not make any decisions right now. Let's just get, just rest and let things stabilize. So we can go with the word sometimes just all in our emotions. And nothing. So you just... You're not going to get any spirit. You're just all wrapped up in your emotion, right? Okay. Or you can just strike it with your will. I will be a man of God. I will memorize the Bible. I will get all the facts right. I will. You come away. No spirit. Or you can take the word and let's see here. Strike plate. This is your spirit right here. If you take the word and you strike it. What's the deal with these matches? Oh. It might take you a few strikes.
We need to practice.
In practice. I didn't practice, so you see I'm out of practice. But you will get fire.
Amen.
That's the point. You'll get the fire. The Lord came to cast fire on the earth.
Amen.
Where's that fire going to come from? His word. From contacting the living spirit. Where's that spirit contained? It's where's the spirit embodied?
Word.
It's in the word.
Amen.
It's in the ministry of the word that we're ministering the word. You come to the word and you strike it.
Amen.
With your spirit. Something's going to catch on fire.
Amen.
There's no way we're going to make it, saints. There's no way the recovery is going to fulfill God's purpose if saints aren't coming to him in the word and getting lit by the Lord.
Amen.
Have you enjoyed the Lord and his word where you're lit?
Amen.
If there's no fire, there's not going to be any moving of the Lord. We have to have the fire. That is the power. That's the burning. That's the spirit that's going to bring him back because that's him.
Amen.
So if we don't have an exercise of coming to the Lord and getting filled with him and lit by him, then we don't have much feeling about him. We don't have anything to say about him. We don't care about him in our daily life. There'll be no gospel. There'll be no love of God. There'll be no way, no grace. We have to come to the source.
Amen.
So it has to be our daily habit to come to the word. Otherwise, we're not going to make it, especially as more timers. We got to have daily supply by the word, using our spirit to convert. You could call this potential energy. All of you know the physics. There's potential energy. There's potential spirit. And how do we convert that potential spirit into what's the other kind of energy? What does that mean? What is kinetic energy, physicist? Motion. How is this going to get in motion? How are we going to get the Lord's move, the motion? We got to convert. You have a converter. You have an app or whatever. Your spirit can convert the power, the energy, the spirit that's embodied in here into motion,
amen,
into movement,
amen,
into life. Right? But we have to come to the word and exercise to convert potential to kinetic. Potential spirit becomes kinetic spirit, moving spirit. The Lord's move. Okay. Number three is persevering. Let's all read that. Okay, this is a big one, and it's a big lack. Years ago, we started having the full-timers fill out a schedule, and we had certain things that we wanted them to do in their schedule, and so we tallied the different categories of things the full-timers did. And then we had a coordination one morning, and I had the statistics there, and I asked the full-timers, how many minutes a day do you think we as a group on average spend praying privately? And I had the data right there. I'm asking you, how many minutes a day did you think the Austin full-timers, this is 15 years ago or something, I can't remember, spent a day in private prayer? Throw out a number.
40.
Okay. Anybody else? 20. Anybody else?
12.
12 minutes a day. Okay.
Five. Seven.
It was under 15. Under 15, we're serving the Lord full time, and on average, we didn't spend 15 minutes per person per day praying. Week sauce. How's the Lord going to answer prayers if there are no prayers?
Hard to answer
those non-prayers. I'd like to answer some prayers. Anybody want to offer some up? So weak. So that's why persevering. It's a perseverance, watching in it, watching. So we just have to be reminded of the need to set aside time. Scheduled is the best. If you have, there was one section, one time in my life that I had to schedule afternoon prayer. It was almost an hour. I'm not in that situation right now, unfortunately, but I really felt like that was the Lord really, he enjoyed that time, and I think a lot came out of that time, but it was scheduled. So if it's not scheduled, it's probably not going to happen. The only way you're going to make it through school is if you keep the schedule. If those classes, what time's your class? What, you told me you get up at what time in the morning for your ROTC workout? 5:30. What happens if you don't keep that schedule? They're going to cut you, right, bud? You have to have it scheduled, so be practical. Schedule it privately, individually. Of course, you have 6:18 in Ephesians about praying over the Word. Follows 6:17. And then Matthew, going into your private room. That means put your cell phone away. I have a habit now where I will not look at my phone or turn on any devices until I've had time with the Lord. I don't care. And Don was this way too. A lot of times I needed to talk to him in the morning, but he never answered his phone before 11, I think it was about 11 a.m. Of course, he went to bed a little later because of his illness, but you couldn't reach him. I don't know if you ever tried, Chris. A lot of times I needed something, but I just knew he wasn't going to be available to me because he was only available to somebody else. And that somebody else was more important than what I needed to ask him about. It was more important he was talking to somebody else, the Lord. Especially in the morning time. I I think in Acts 3, it says they went up to the temple to pray. Was that at 3 in the afternoon? Anybody remember? I think that was afternoon prayer with the man that was a beggar. That was chapter 3. They went up a certain time, ninth hour. Oh, at the ninth hour of prayer, how about that? The ninth hour, it says, this is Acts 3:1, into the temple at the ninth hour prayer. What does that mean to you? Yeah, I think so. But it's the ninth hour prayer.
It was scheduled.
There was a time, 2:30, 2:45. There's ninth hour prayer. There's 3 o'clock prayer. So I'm going to the temple because there's a prayer time on the ninth hour. It was scheduled. So we have to have scheduled times. That's why we have a scheduled prayer meeting. I hope you would make this a priority in your church life, and that's a church prayer meeting, fight night. That's when it's one of the least attended meetings because it's one of the most important attended meetings. And more timers really need to be in that meeting if you're being supported by the church and you're carrying out the spiritual needs of the church. If you're not there in the prayer meeting of the church, you need to rethink your schedule or talk to the elder brothers, leading brothers, the player coach, and find out what your problem is. It's not a home meeting where there's food and, you know, it's easy for the saints to go to the home meetings, easier.
It's not at the fights.
Not at the fights. So when there's no food there, there's not going to be anybody sharing a word with you. There's not, it's just put on the boxing gloves, get to the Lord, and let the Lord deal with you and the Satan and the universe. So it's his night to administrate what's in his heart so it can be carried out through the church, which he's giving authority to. So if we're not binding and loosing as a group, then we shouldn't expect the church to make much progress. If the Lord can't have us there committing time to bring heaven to earth through the prayer, then we shouldn't expect much heaven on earth because we're not praying things to the earth. So just a few points about that prayer meeting. When is your prayer meeting? Everybody knows when the prayer meeting is, don't you? First of all, you need to know there is a church prayer meeting. It is scheduled. It's a certain place, a certain time. It's for all the saints, not just the more timers. And we need the whole church praying. We need to firstly pray ourselves into God. So we need to be there opening, asking the Lord to cleanse us, asking the Lord to fill us, asking the Lord to contacting the Lord. And then also to pray genuine prayers, not artificial prayers for man, but what you would pray privately to God. You know, we're not just praying so other people can hear our eloquent prayer. We're praying, we're opening to the Lord. He is the one who's praying through us. So they're not manufactured prayers. They're hopefully, if we're firstly praying ourselves into God, then those prayers will be coming through. They'll be God's prayers, actually. Then it's good to pray short prayers. We don't want to sap the strength of the saints and make them uncomfortable. Sometimes people, there's this one particular saint, and when I'm in a prayer meeting with them, I just know, okay, it's going to be 2 or 3 minutes before anybody else is going to pray. So I just kind of tune out. It's like a ball hog. You ever play basketball? And you pass someone the ball, and they're just doing their little dribbling out here. And the other four guys are sitting around going, can we play ball? Or are we just... So I don't want to be critical, but it's a corporate prayer meeting. When you go in your private room, you can do, you know, it's just you. But when you're in a corporate prayer meeting, you're looking for the corporate prayer to come forth, and it comes forth through the corporate members, the members of the body. So that's why short prayers, and we don't need you to put a clock on it and say, oh, 10 seconds, you're done, next. Don't take it legally, please. Don't start criticizing. But in principle, it's good to offer up short prayers and pray for one specific thing at a time. The burdens come out. When you're touching the Lord, he's burdened for a particular thing. And he wants to release something. He wants some release on that. So it's good to stick with what the prayer is instead of jumping over here and over here and over here. Just pray until that burden you feel like is released through the corporate prayer meeting. That's why it's good to follow one another.
Amen.
If there's a line of prayer for, let's say you're praying for the campus, or you're praying for the Lord's move in Germany, or whatever, and there's some feeling about that, then, you know, we need to pile on and release that burden through. So follow, you know, learn to follow. That way it's a corporate prayer meeting in the Lord's burdens release. So that's a little few comments there on the corporate entering and learning to pray corporately. Okay. I got the same problem Chris does. We're going to run out of time. So number 5, let's read that. Okay, how about someone read these verses for us? Manuel, you want to read Ezekiel for us? So
Ezekiel 1:11-14. And thus their faces were, and their wings were spread out upward. Two wings of each were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit was to go, they went. They did not turn as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches. The fire went to and fro among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran to and fro like the appearance of a lightning bolt.
Okay, so this is, as full-timers, we're not serving by ourselves. We're coordinated as a team. If you are by yourself, we need to pray that the Lord would give you some others to coordinate with. It's not easy to serve by yourself. So if you don't have another full-timer, you need to try to work it out with students or community saints or somebody that you feel like you're in a group, you're coordinating, you have a team. And here's some points that are in these verses. First of all, the team, we're viewing the four living creatures as a team. There are four. There's four of them. And 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's a team that are connected. And they are moving as a team. So the team is first. The individual's not first, but the team is first. There's four individual living creatures, but they move as one. So that means they're not moving according to their individual interest, but they're moving as a team. So it's the team that wins. It's the team that needs to have the priority in the Lord's move. Not the individual, but the group. Okay? But that doesn't come that easy. It's not easy for us to, for the Lord to gain that among us. This is this chapter in the Bible is tremendous, and it's the best one on coordination. Thank the Lord we have such an illustration. So with the team, some were having to go backward, and some were having to go sideways. That means it wasn't, you know, that they would like, you always like to go forward. You know, it's always easiest to walk this way than to ask me to walk this way or this way. It's not that easy to walk that way. So we always, you know, prefer, you know, you always, it's easier to walk straight ahead. So, but with a team, as a coordinated group, means sometimes you're going to be going sideways or backward. That means the team comes first. Not everybody gets to walk forward all the time. Okay, so team above individual. Number two, they were joined, verse 11, they were joined one to another. So this shows relatedness. Some full-timers have a hard time coordinating because they have a hard time relating. And this relatedness was through touching the wings, which shows resurrection. So the problem of coordinating with others is that we are still in the old creation. We are not in resurrection, which means it's hard to coordinate because we are holding on to natural things, our own way, whatever it is. So it's hard to get along with the other team members because we're not in the Lord's resurrection life. So, but these four living creatures were touching wings, which means they were in resurrection life, so they had no problem in moving together and following the Lord's lead. So this is point number two. Point number one was the team wins, the team's first over the individual. Secondly, this is relatedness. A team has to be related. I think I've told you a story about some of our students years ago. They were basketball players in high school, and they came to UT, and they got on an intramural team, and they were good athletes, and so they got in the championship game of the intramural basketball playoffs, and they played a team that was a group of boys from Austin who grew up playing basketball together. So our guys came from Dallas, Houston, Austin, and they were, if so you match the two teams up, individual talent, we had better talent. Our guys were better than their guys one-on-one. You know, if you matched the post, the center, the guard, those are positions in basketball. And with their guys, we had a beat by talent. But guess who won the game? They won it. Why did they win it? They've been coordinating for all those years. They knew the backhand passes, overhead passes. They knew where the guy was going to be at the right time and who was strong on this. And so they just beat us because they were related. They were related. So have to be related in the resurrection life. And at least in twos and threes, bigger team like ours, you can't be that closely related to everybody, but we break it down into twos, threes, fours, where you can move a lot easier. Okay, then point number three, and each went straight forward, each. So the word each means that all the team members are important. Sometimes it's easy to despise a member or think, well, we don't really need your portion, or it's not that critical. But all the full-timers, each had a part in moving. So if we're very good at a particular thing, let's say we're good at preaching the gospel and another full-timer is weak in that, we may think, well, we don't really need you, or you're not contributing to the team. But it says here, each one went. So we have to go together and appreciate one another. And then number four is point number four, wherever the Spirit was to go. So the leading of the full-time team is according to where the Spirit is to go. And that comes out of the coordination, out of the relatedness, out of seeking the Lord. The Spirit is the one who is leading. And so the team is following the Spirit's lead. Wherever the Spirit was to go, they went. Okay, and then it says they did not turn. So you got a point on that one. They didn't turn. Meaning they were all for the move of the Lord in the body. They didn't, you know, like I just illustrated, some went backwards, some went forward. They were for the body and for the move of the Spirit and not for their own turning. If you catch that up, you can catch that. They okay, let's go on to then number verse 13 says burning coals of fire. Let me back up on 5. They didn't turn. So this again shows the variety. Weren't each face all faced the same direction? Is that right? With the faces, they all faced out. I can't remember on their faces. The face of the man was on the outside, then to the right and left and back. So when they moved a direction, the face of a man was on the one that was going this way, but the other faces were, you could see the other faces. So this shows variety. This shows different expression, different variety, different capacities. Also, full-time have different capacities. Some can do a lot more. Some are in different stages. Single full-timers can do a certain amount. Then when they get married, we have to talk to them about adjusting their schedule. Then when they have a child, we have to adjust their schedule again. So capacities change. So there's variety and there's changes in capacity. Okay, then their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And this shows the burning, like we just illustrated with the match, which is the coals of fire, and that is God himself. Burning coals of fire, that's his expression. So when the full-timers move as a team, that is has an expression of the Lord. It's the moving of God, who is symbolized by the fire, and they went to and fro. The fire, sorry, this isn't them, the fire, like the appearance of torches, the fire went to and fro among the living creatures. So here, come on up here, you four. The fire, they all face outward. You turn, yeah, just this way, yeah, like that. So the fire, it says the appearance was like burning coals of fire. So that was their appearance, like the appearance of torches, so lit. And the fire went to and fro among the living creatures. So this is the fellowship. It's the fire is God, and it going to and fro is showing the fellowship among the full-timers. It's going to Emmanuel to Jordan, it's going back and forth around, to and fro, the fellowship. So in the full-time team, there's a fellowship among the full-timers. It's not one dominating. It's not just this one has all of it. There's a fellowship, and it says it goes to and fro. So there is a coordination. The fellowship, as full-timers, we're learning to fellowship. And actually, if some of the places you don't have full-timers, or you may just have one, that means they need to be connected with students and other saints. There needs to be a fellowship. If the Lord's going to move, if there's going to be fire, there's got to be, it's got to go to and fro. That's what, that's the way the Lord moves. The fire is going to and fro, to this one, from that one, among the living creatures. You got it? Mm-hmm. So there has to be the learning to fellowship. And this is something you're not born knowing how to do, and as a young full-timer, you don't know how to do it. We have to learn to fellowship, and that's how we get the fire, is through the fellowship. It's moving. God's moving among us through the fellowship. That's God moving. The fire's God, remember? So it's moving around. As the brothers, sisters, they fellowship in the team, that's God's way of moving. Okay? Okay, thanks, brother. So the point there is learning to fellowship as a full-timer. And then uh, 14 says the creatures ran to and fro. So here you have the through the proper coordination, the burning fire, and the fire going to and fro, that shows that there's that creates a some impact, some power there. The Lord's move comes from that interaction, and the coordination among the fire moving is where the power and the impact comes from. So without that, it's hard for the Lord to move on the campus to bring people salvation, to bring people in the church. There's not going to be the power and the impact. Okay, I think maybe I should stop here and give you a few minutes. I think 12:30 was our time to finish. We can pick up these other points maybe a little later. I'll give you maybe 5 minutes to respond if you'd like. So full-timers, we covered your calling. More-timers, your calling. You're being met by the Lord every morning. You're being supplied by the Word daily. You're persevering in prayer individually and corporately, and coordinated.